Hey, welcome to the Crossing Church podcast. You're about to listen to a message from one of our recent meetings, which we trust will bless you. If you're wanting to know more about The Crossing, you can follow us on our social channels or visit thecrossing.org.za. Now lean in and be encouraged by Jesus as you hear his word for you today. You can also drop us a mail at forhim@thecrossing.org.za. The Crossing Church, Christ in us, Christ through us.
Preaching through the book of Luke, and if you've missed any of the chapters before, not to worry, you can catch up on our podcast. But today, even though some of you haven't been in for the others, today is a great message to hear on its own, but a great message in line with what we feel God is saying to us. He is the healer of the world. He is the savior of the world. He saves people, and he changes people's lives, and he heals people's lives for the better. If you are in this place today, and you're sick on the inside, I want to tell you, today you can be changed by Jesus. This is a hospital that's better than hospitals. Because a hospital can fix your body, but Jesus fixes your soul. And Jesus fixes everything else. So we're trusting, and I'm trusting that today. That's my expectation, and my faith in his word, that it'll do in you what you need it to do for you. Is that cool? Let's pray and then read. Lord, thank you so much. It's a privilege to talk to you and to preach for you and to listen to you in this room right now. You here. So even through the preaching of the word, may I hear you and may we all hear you. And God, may you do the things that you do when you're in the room, when you're in the boat, as we'll read about. Would you do the things that you do so powerfully and so easily? There are people here, many of us here need something, need a change, are desperate, have had enough of the nonsense, have had enough of the pain. Right here, right now, Jesus, you saying you've had enough of it as well, and you want to set people free today. I want to thank you that you would do it by the power of your Spirit. As your word goes forth, let your Spirit do the work. And we thank you for people to be changed for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Cool. Luke chapter 5. We're going to read to verse 16 from verse 1. On one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake Gennesaret, and he saw two boats by the lake. But the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and he taught people from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep and let down your nets for a catch." And Simon answered, "Master, we've toiled all night and took nothing. But at your word, I'll let down the nets." And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. They signaled to the partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats, so they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, probably in among the fish as well, fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you'll be catching men." And when they had brought their boats to the land, they left everything and followed him. And while he was in one of the cities, there was a man full of leprosy. And when he saw Jesus, he fell on his face and he begged him, "Lord, if you will, you can make me clean." And Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, "I will be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him. And he charged him to tell no one, but go and show yourself to the priest and make an offering for your cleansing, as Moses commanded, for proof to them. But now, even more, the report about him went abroad, and great crowds gathered to hear him and to be healed of their infirmities. But he would withdraw to desolate places and pray. Wow, what an incredible story. These two passages, or these two accounts, are put together on purpose by Luke. Luke is our physician whose life is completely changed when he realizes that he's come across someone who doesn't just heal bodies, that he's been trained to do as a doctor. Luke the doctor realizes that he might as well give up on his profession, because if he just fixes bodies for this earth, he's found somebody that fixes souls for eternity. And what makes a physician become an evangelist? It's this: when you meet and encounter Jesus Christ. And so as Luke is writing, he's teaching us about Jesus, the anointed man, that Jesus was a man who walked on this earth, that he was not some spiritual ghost that floated 3 foot off the ground and kind of went around doing these amazing things. He was a man that walked on the earth. He got tired. He needed to eat. He slept at night. He woke up in the day, sometimes woke up very early. He needed to pray. Why? Because he was showing us that for every single one of us who need to eat, sleep, and walk around on the earth, we need to pray. And we need the Holy Spirit upon us. And so if he as a man could do what he did so powerfully, then who are we with, as men and women with the Spirit of God on us, can also do these things? And Luke is writing this to us to encourage our faith, to teach us and to show us what happens when we start to follow after Jesus. And then he starts to show how Jesus pulled people towards him and how Jesus drew people towards him by the power of God that was on him. And he did amazing miracles, wonderful signs and wonders. I'm trusting that he will do the same right here today, right now. Do you believe he can heal? Do you believe he heals today? Do you believe he healed then? Do you believe he's alive? If you believe he's alive and he was a healer then, he's a healer today. He can do it right now. So we are trusting with you that God's going to do incredible things. So these two stories are put together on purpose. And I do believe there's some deep things that God wants to show us today. Who wants to go deeper? Not everybody likes going deeper, but I want to go a bit deeper. I mean, I've known Jesus since 2000, like I mentioned, and some of you have known him for longer than me, but I want to know him more. And Paul, at the end of his life, when he's writing his letters, he says, I want to know this Christ. I want to give up everything to know this Christ. And you would think that he knew him after everything that he's written for us to get to know him. He says, I still feel like I want to know him. I mean, there's an eternity of God in Jesus, and there's only a lifetime of us. Can you imagine? There's so much we can find out about him. There's so much that we can learn. And so, who wants to go deeper? I'm trusting that there would be something of a catch that takes place. Some things are better caught than taught, like fishing. Someone can teach you to fish, but it's not the same. You have to catch fish. But I'm trusting this morning that as the scriptures are going to teach us, I trust that there's something of his heart that you'll catch. And in fact, I trust this, that he'll catch you. Because if he's teaching people to catch men, I trust that he's going to catch you this morning. He's got a very clever way, Jesus, of catching fish, and he's got a great way of catching people. And you know what? He knows how to catch you. He knows how to put the net around you, that you don't know where else to go. I tell you, his love is like a cord. It's like a net. Once you're in it, you don't want to go anywhere else. And so let's get caught by Jesus today. So the crowds, there's a large number of common people that are pressing into Jesus. What for? For the Word of God. And it's amazing how many times the association with the Word of God and Jesus is linked. I mean, Jesus has a Word. Jesus brings the Word. Jesus, as John says, is the Word. He's the Word who became flesh. In other words, if God's going to say something to the world, he's not going to write another book. He's written all about Jesus. If you want to know what God has to say to you, get Jesus in your life, and you've got everything that he says is in Jesus Christ. We can chase after God's words, yeah, God's words there. We can look in books and this and this and all kinds of places until you find Jesus. Jesus is the fulfillment of everything that is in God's word. He is God's word, and he has God's word for you. When you come to Jesus, you're going to find what God is saying to you. I mean, Jesus, John the Baptist is prophetic and speaks the word before Jesus arrives. Even Mary received a word from an angel. Zechariah prophesied a word over Jesus. All these things, Jesus and the word are so intertwined that when Jesus comes on the scene, it says the heavens open and a word from heaven is spoken. This is my son whom I love. With him I'm well pleased. There's word in his life. As Jesus goes into the desert, how does he overcome the devil who's trying to tempt him while he's fasting? The only way he overcomes him is says, it is written, by the word, by the word, by the word. And as Jesus comes out of the desert and he stands up to preach, his first message is this: basically, I've got the word. I've been anointed by the Spirit of God. He uses the scroll Isaiah. He's using the Old Testament and he says, the Spirit is on me right now to produce the New Testament, which is the good news that everyone will be saved who puts their trust in him. It's a word. He's about the word. And he starts to preach, and then the crowd say, what is this? A word with authority. Because they'd been hearing the word from their teachers and their scribes week after week, as was their custom to go to the synagogue. But Jesus was also accustomed to the synagogue. He would also go and study the word. He would also gather with the people of God. But when he starts to bring the word, demons start flying out of people. And they say, wow, this is the word with authority. There's something very different about a word that comes from Jesus. Amen. So it's not just words. It's not just a little talk. It's not just something written in black and white. When Jesus starts to speak, things start to happen. And he uses the word in a powerful way. He knows the word. He wants to give you the word. And at this point, these people are pressing in on Jesus. They're hungry for the word. They've heard that he's the one who forgives. They've heard that he's the one who casts out demons. They've heard that he heals the sick and the paralyzed are walking. They've heard about it. And so you can imagine, when somebody's got a good word, you want to know. And so they start pressing in on Jesus, and they're coming near to him. Who here needs a word today? Who here will press in today? Because as the crowds are pressing in on Jesus, I want you to know, folk, he's got a word for you, but are you willing to press in? You can stand aloof, you can put your weight on your back foot and watch to see what happens, or you can start to press in and say, I need what Jesus has for me. If you want the word today, it's up to your hunger. The word of God's going to come. Jesus is full of the word, but it's up to you. Will you press in, or will you stand back and watch? Folk, everything's going to demand that you stand back. Everything in your life, from tonight, from tomorrow morning, until next Saturday night, until next Sunday, everything's going to resist you from pressing into the word. Will you go against the grain and press with the crowd, because it's his word that is going to speak to you and change your life and do wonderful things for you? Are you hungry? Are you thirsty? Should I sit down? Because I'm going to preach and let's hear what he has. So Jesus' priority is amazing, because he knows he's got something good. He has to give it to the people. You know, how many of us, when we've got something good, we contemplate whether we should give it or not? How many of us, when we've got some money in the kind of cubby hole, or you know, by the gearbox, there's a whole lot of coins there, and we know somebody needs some good from that money, but we start contemplating, and we start wondering whether the guy at the robot that's begging for change really needs it, or he's really going to use it for good things. But Jesus doesn't think about that. Jesus knows, these guys need the word, and they're pressing on me to the point where I'm on the edge of the water here. What can I do? He looks for some resources. He looks for what's around him. He sees, ah, here's some boats. The fishermen aren't using them. They're washing their nets right now. Let's get into the boats, and let's bring the word. And he says, put out a little, and he starts to share it. God will use every opportunity he can to make sure that you're getting the word. He's going to make sure, even if it looks impossible, that he's going to work situations and resources and circumstances and things out, because he's committed to the priority of bringing you his word. He will not stop until you have it. Jesus is resourceful, though. It's amazing. Have you made your business assets available to Jesus for the sake of crowds who need the word? I mean, can you imagine Simon thinking, who does this guy think he is getting into my boat? It's a fishing boat, and now he wants to turn it into a pulpit. Pulpits don't float. But this Jesus says, Simon, can you push out a little bit? And he gives it to him. Have you made your vehicle, your resources, your nets, your livelihood available so that Jesus can use your time, your things, whatever you have, for the sake of the word of God? Because his priority is to get it to people. And so if you've worked with it all night, perhaps it's available in the morning for Jesus to use for his kingdom and for his glory. And we know the story. What happens when we let Jesus use the boat for a little bit? He doesn't pay rent like we expect. The supply is better than we could ever have worked for all night long. Hello? Anytime you come, whether it's 10% of the money you've worked hard for all your month, you've worked hard for it and you've earned it, and you're thinking, this is mine. I tell you, the moment you release it to him so that the word of God can be preached, you start to see lives changed, and you start to see your boat becomes full. And maybe it becomes full of fish, and maybe it becomes full of people. But the point is this: God's going to use you so that the kingdom of God can be shared. If we all do our part, guys, if we all have this kind of resourcefulness, if we all say, that's for you, God, whenever you want to use it, God, this is yours. The nighttime I'll do my work, but in the morning it's all yours. There's a percentage that I give him. Every single time I do it, you'll see the kingdom of God advances powerfully. He's done it like that since that day. He doesn't do it any other way. If everybody holds back, nobody can get what he wants to give. But if everybody releases, more will hear the word of God. And the crowds will be hearing the wonderful word which is preached to them. It's true, folk. It's the only way it works. And Jesus is looking for us to see whether we'll let our prized asset be in his hands for a moment. Because eventually, Simon says, I don't even need the boat anymore. He takes it for a little while to preach to the crowds, and eventually he says, actually, I don't even want it. And everything that I was hoping to get out of that boat, I can now get from Jesus. He's your provider, folk. He's wonderful in every way. And so, I love these words. He says to Simon, put out a little. Put out a little. Maybe God's saying to you, will you put out a little? And I was thinking about this prophetically. There's going to come a time where God is going to say, will you put out the littles for the sake of my kingdom? And when you put out every other person that has got the calling of God in their lives for the sake of my kingdom, and we're going to say, hang on, we want to hold it. It's safe here on the shore. It's good. The crowds are here. We need everything we got. But if God says, put out a little, it's going to apply to every area of our lives. Will you put out a little for him? The sense is to leave the shore a little bit. Jesus wants to speak to people. It's not that deep what Jesus shares from the boat to the crowds. And let me just clarify this. You see, when Jesus speaks the basic things, he speaks it to a crowd. He speaks of his love. He speaks of his forgiveness. When you're finding somebody in a crowd who's interested in Jesus, you're not going to give them the way the Old Testament structure is fitted in with the prophetic declarations for the end time renewal of the kingdom to come. You're not going to do things like that. You're going to give them the basics. God loves you. God forgives you. God wants to help you. Do you know God? He's wonderful. There's a wonderful general revelation of who God is that the crowds need. Folk, many crowds are going to come to Jesus, and the first thing they need to hear is not their ancestral thing needs to be resolved by the spirit. All they need to know is God loves them. When you meet in the crowds, there's so many people in the crowds who are broken and messed up. What do you think they need? They just need some of God's order in their life, and they just need some of God's love in their life. When you go into the crowds, don't despise the crowds. Don't think, oh, geez, these crowds are so dirty. They're so ugly. There's so much pressure. Make it a priority to bring them the basics. God wants to speak to the crowds. He wants to tell them, if you think for some reason people think this, that crowds of people are looking at their Facebook profiles. That every time you put something out on your Facebook, you know that's probably only your friends and a select number of your friends that have been designed by Facebook to see what you share. So it's maybe 10. So when you think there's 100,000 people out there looking at, fuck, don't be deceived. And in fact, if you're trying to live out the gospel through Facebook, you're going to be sorely disappointed. Rather live out the gospel to the crowds of people around you wherever you go. Many people want to fight on Facebook to defend the kingdom of God. It's useless, folk. Why don't you stand up and defend God by the way you love people wherever you go? That's way better face-to-face than Facebook. There's a book that gets our faces, and it should be the word. And so, directly after preaching this amazing word of restoration and healing to this crowd of people on a basic level, now he says to Simon Peter, will you go a little deeper? And God wants to go deeper with us. He says, let's go into the deep water. Who wants to go to deep water, folk? But here's a caution. When you go deep with Jesus, he goes deep with you. And sometimes we're not so ready for what he's going to expose inside of us. Because at the surface level, I've got my Sunday best on and I'm okay. And yeah, all of you look at me and think, that's nice. He's a nice guy preaching. He's got a cool beard. I know. All this kind of stuff. And like, gee, look at this shirt. On surface level, that's wonderful. But Jesus is not interested in the outside. Man looks at the outside, but God looks at the heart. And if you want to go deeper, God's going to go deeper. You know, then he's got to relieve some of that stuff that's inside there. The stuff that you know you've been hiding. We're going to go a bit deeper. No, not so deep, Jesus. You know, we press in a little bit. Hang on. That's a bit much. Because we're scared of what's going to be exposed. Who's scared of having their hearts exposed? I am. I mean, you know what you've been thinking. You know what you've been doing. You know what you've been looking at. You know what you've been seeing. You know what you've been criticizing. All the stuff that burns inside there. Jesus wants to go there. He wants to go deeper. Do you want him to go deeper? Do you really want Jesus in your boat? I mean, it's great when there's lots of fish, but fish smell. And so he wants to go deep. Simon was initially quite critical. He's like, Jesus, we've fished all night. You know, we're fishermen. We know what we're doing. You're a carpenter. You're a stoneworker. You do the stuff on land. We do the stuff on water. Are you trying to tell us, Mr. Carpenter, stoneworker, that you want us to throw the net out when we normally fish at night? And you're saying we must go do this a day where nobody catches any fish. So, excuse me, Jesus, but he says, Master. There is an element of respect. He says, Master, because you say so, I'll do it. And so, at your word. Some of us need to simply obey Jesus in the same manner. Maybe God's asking you to do something this morning. He's already asked you a few things, I'm sure. Am I right? And you might have 100 excuses and reasons why, hang on, this is not quite your area of expertise, Jesus. I know what I'm doing with my money. I know what I'm doing in my life. I know what I'm doing with my situation. But Jesus says, I want to go a little bit deeper. Perhaps the best thing for you to say today is, at your word, God, I'll do it. At your word, I'll be obedient. I might not understand how it looks. I might not understand how it works out. I might have understood from time and time again, having tried to do it that way, it didn't work in the past, and now you're asking me to do it again. But at your word, Jesus, I'll do it. I'll step out into what you got for me. That's the kind of obedience Jesus is looking for. Because that there, I think, was a victory for Simon. Because he says, at your word, Jesus can now go deeper with him. Because Simon's willing to go at your word, God can go deeper. And the revelation that comes to Simon bowls him over. The revelation of who Jesus is in that moment. He's heard that Jesus can set people free. He's heard that Jesus can speak and demons flee. He's heard that Jesus can speak these amazing words. But he's never seen the Lord and Master of the sea and everything in it do what he's about to do. Because he can basically say, like he said on that sixth day many, 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 many years ago, let there be fish, and there was fish. So when he speaks, he realizes, Simon realizes, this is God in my boat. Who am I to tell God in my boat that there's a better way to fish? Because Jesus says, let there be fish, and there's fish in the net. Let there be fish, and there's fish in the boat. Let there be fish, and there's fish for 5,000 people to be fed. Fish is not an issue for Jesus. The issue is, do you believe in him? And do you trust in him? And do you realize that if you have him inside your boat, you've got the provider of everything that exists? He made it all with his breath. And he's in your boat. Don't jump ship. Stay inside. The lifesaver is not a little ring that's orange with ropes on it. The lifesaver is Jesus Christ. He's in the boat. Stay there. He will save you. Isn't amazing? The revelation is powerful. And so, he wants to go deeper with us, folk. The crowds get the shallow Jesus on the edge of the shore. But Simon gets the deep Jesus out far at sea. Do you want the shallow Jesus or do you want the deep Jesus? You can have the shallow Sunday Jesus or you can have the deep every hour of your life Jesus. You can have the I only do what I feel I need to do when I need to do it Jesus, or you can have the Jesus of every moment, every day. It's all yours, God. There's a lot more that comes when we go deeper, folk. And so I want to teach you a little bit about the difference between a logos word and a rhema word. This is now for the guys that are a bit cleverer. But I'm going to help all of us understand because I'm not so clever. You see, logos is simply the general word of God. It's the Greek word for word, logos. It's the general, constant, total revelation of who God is, whether spoken or through the word. But practically for us, you pick up your Bible, you've got the logos. That's the general, constant, never-changing word for everyone, for all mankind, about all of who God is. That's the logos, and that's what Jesus wants to give the crowds. But then you get the rhema. And the rhema word is a specific word that is personal, and it goes deep into your spirit. It's for Rob Jones. And when God says, this is what I've got for you, Rob Jones, boom, it goes right into your heart. And it starts with the logos, and it's included in the logos, but it narrows in, and the rhema is him speaking to your spirit, making you alive with something that can be different today, different tomorrow, but it's something specific for you. And so God gives the logos to the crowd, but he wants to give the rhema to Simon deep in the boat. I want to rhema word for you. Even right now, as the general word is being preached, God is speaking to some of you individually. God is touching on things in your heart for your life, with something you've got to give up for you to change, that nobody else has to. It's all about you and God right there, right now. Rhema is coming to you because He loves you and He wants to change you and He wants to save you. He cares about you. That's what He's doing right now. And so this revelation, the crowds need the Logos, but you and I, we need the at your word. We've got to move from general to deep. And suddenly there's this awareness. Simon becomes aware of God. He says, wow, you can do anything. You are superior to my fishing experience. You're superior to my life. He becomes aware of who Jesus is. And what does he do? He bows down in the fish at his knees. Scales all over his face, I'm sure. And just there, in the slimy stuff, God, oh Lord. And he says this, depart from me. I'm a sinful man, oh Lord. When you realize who he is, you realize who you are. When you realize how great and majestic and powerful and awesome this God is, that he's so amazing, that he creates the sea and the fish in them, and that he's willing to come to you, it's got to respond. There's got to be something that happens in your heart. And I tell you what, Simon's on the ground. He's on the floor. He's in the boat right there. He thinks this is crazy. Folk, the reality is this. Jesus is alive. Jesus is here right now. Jesus cares about you. Jesus is in your boat. He's not just for everyone. He's for you. He's not just spiritual, he's practical. He can change your weekend, but he can change your week. He can change your business better than you know, and he knows your soul better than you do. And what happens? We feel unworthy in the presence of this incredible God. This is the things we say. No, not me, Lord. Surely someone else. I'm a sinner. I'm unworthy. I'll just go back to my nonsense. It's impossible for you, God, to want to be with me, to want to reveal yourself to me, to even use me. I'm useless. How many of you have felt like that? I can't be used by him. I can't serve him. What good is my home? What good is my boat? What good are my talents? What good are my skills? What good is this? Or am I in any way for this amazing God? Because actually, if he had to use this, he'd probably mess it all up. So let me just depart from me. Get away from me. Because if I get my fingers onto anything that's yours, so holy and beautiful and awesome, I'm going to blow it. And then we feel, I've got to train more. I've got to learn more. I've got to try to read the Bible more. I've got to read more. I've got to get more holy. I've got to get rid of more sin. I can't. I'm a sinner. Just get away from me, God. You can't use me. How many of us have said that? How many of us have thought, I can't do it anymore? He's too holy for me. That's how you know you're ready. That's how you know that he can use you. You think you're too sinful to serve him? God uses sinners to save sinners. Do you think you're too sinful to be used by him? Who else does he use? You're ready. He chose to call unschooled, ordinary fishermen with insecurities and low self-esteem to turn the world upside down. He didn't use the kings and palaces to bring their political power. He used the worst of the worst, the less of the less, those that stank the most. He used them to turn the world upside down for his glory and for his kingdom. If he could use a fisherman like Simon who said, depart from me, I'm a sinner, he can use you. And he wants to use you right now. And if you need a rhema word, here's one. He wants to use you. Whatever your name is, Isaiah, let's look at that beautiful scripture. This is an example of a great prophet who's written some of the most amazing 66 chapters of incredible prophecy in Isaiah 6, verse 1 to 8, the very beginning of his ministry. It says this, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon the throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him stood the seraphim, each had six wings, with two they covered their faces, two they covered their feet, and with two they flew. And they called one to another, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the foundations of the threshold shook at the voice of him who called. That's amazing. The foundation shook, not just the threshold shake, the foundation shook. And the house was filled with smoke. And I said, woe is me, for I am lost. For I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people with unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand
a burning coal that he'd taken with the tongs of the, from the altar, and he touched my mouth, and he said, behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away, and your sin atoned for. And then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? Then I said, here am I. Send me. And the next verse says, he says, go. Folk, who does he use? The unclean. How does he use them? He cleans them. And then he sends them. You don't clean yourself from the outside in. You'll scrub all day with life, boy. You'll scrub for the rest of your life, boy. But Jesus, he's better than the dove. So he says to Simon, from now on, don't be afraid. The only one that's going to be scared when you've got Jesus is everyone else. The only situations that are scary is every other situation for everyone else. When you've got Jesus, don't be afraid. Do not fear. Step out in faith. Step out. Faith can sometimes be such a difficult thing. The minute you say the word faith, it's like, oh, no, I can't have faith. Folk, it's quite simple. You just got to trust in the one who's with you. I mean, if Jesus is in your corner boxing, you've won it all. Believe in his ability. Look at his ability. Love his ability. And don't even think of your ability. The minute you think of yours, you will be afraid. When you look at his, no fear. And he's saying to every one of you, do not be afraid. Don't be afraid to tell, because I'm going to use you to catch people. What's a fisherman who doesn't catch fish? He's just a man. What's a church that don't catch people? I don't even know if it's a church. But this is true. It was as easy for Jesus to put fish in that boat. If it's easy for him to put fish in that boat, it's easy for him to catch people with your life. And if he can do the miracle, he can fulfill the promise. I will use you to catch people. And now this is where the stories connect. Because we need to know who we're going to catch. What we're going to catch, and what's the extent of those that we need to catch. And so we've had the crowd, the called, the cleansed, are about to be cleaned even more. Now this is where the rubber hits the road. If you're willing to leave everything, because it says they left everything for him. Who's willing to leave everything for Jesus? I've prayed that stupid prayer once, where I'm like, Lord, use me, I'll go anywhere, take whatever. Don't give me anything if you don't have to. As long as I got you. And then there's days when it's like that. I'm like, God, where are you? What are you doing, Lord? I'm just answering your prayer, Brad. What prayer, Lord? I can't remember it. I remember it. Please forget it, Lord. Fuck, we like that. I'll go anywhere. I'll do anything. Please, Jesus. I'll give up my whole life to follow you. Lord, okay, give me just a little. Ooh. But tough. Hey, what if you've got to leave your wife and your children for a day or two? That's everything to me at the moment. The kingdom of God demands things. And it sometimes demands the very thing you love the most. The very thing that he gave you to look after. He's saying, I want it. That's where faith is required, folk. The very peace that he's given you, sometimes it doesn't feel like peace when he leads you. Because you go through the valley of the shadow of death. But you fear no evil because he's with you. The security that you've got, sometimes it's not there. But is your security in the stuff that he gave you, or is your security in him? There's so many ways this thing applies. Let's trust him, folk. Let's go after what he wants to. So the willingness is one thing, but now who are we going to reach, folk? Because the first person that comes Jesus' way is a leper. I don't know about you. I know about me. I don't quite like those things. I mean, I would hate that stuff. You know why I don't like it? Because I'd hate it to be on me. And the problem with a leper is if you go near them, you can get it on you. And then you've got what they've got. And as bad as they look, that's how bad it's going to get. And then there's fear. You're like, Lord, okay, we're going to catch people, but not those ones, eh, Lord? Like, we're going to catch men. Let's leave all our boats. And he says, okay, cool, let's go to the leper. Now the fishermen are like, hang on, those fish are tasting good again. So, leprosy in the days of the Bible, folk, was terrible. It had as much of a stigma as somebody with HIV/AIDS has today. It was the kind of disease that ended in death. It was a disease that was contagious and infectious. It was a terrible disease because you just started to rot and your whole body. And the problem with this disease, it got into your system. So your bones had it. Your marrow had it. Your flesh had it. Your skin had it. It just showed itself on the surface that it was a deep problem within the whole being. And here's another thing that it would do. It would cause you to be numb. So in other words, it was often leprous people would grab something out of the fire if something had fallen in the fire and bring it up and not have a problem because they couldn't even feel their skin burning from the flames. And that infection would set in and they couldn't even feel the infection in their hands. I mean, imagine having a disease that is ruining you and you cannot feel it. You don't even know what's happening to you. And because it's like a germ and a bacteria in your body, it can't heal. It just gets worse and worse. Eventually, people would look so deformed, they would have hardly a face, no eyes and no nose, just hardly any fingers on the ends of their arms, just begging and screaming out for someone to help them. Can you imagine? And they were ostracized because it was infectious. So if somebody picked up leprosy, they were told to go to a leper colony or go to a leper city and get away. And so this leper is coming to the city. He's not allowed to do that. If anything, he should be burned alive because he's a total disgrace. And he's going to cause it to enter the city and the whole city can die from that thing. That's the kind of destruction that leprosy was on your head. And this man had heard about Jesus. He'd heard from the general logos. And he was hoping, perhaps there's a word for me. Because when he comes to Jesus' feet, he says, if you're willing, please, you can make me clean. If you're willing, please. Jesus says, I will. And he reaches out his hand and he touches him. What a great king. That he's not afraid of the junk on the leper getting on him. He knows that the good on him gets onto the leper. And when he touches that leper, it's not this disease that comes on Jesus. It's the healing and the kingdom in Jesus that comes on the man and he's made clean. What a wonderful thing. You see, what are we afraid of, folk? Why are we afraid to tell people about the cure? Why are we afraid of their disease? Because leprosy is like sin. It kills you without you even knowing. The wages of sin is death. It destroys you without even feeling it. It ostracizes you from the city of God. But Jesus has come to save sinners. And this is the reality. He's willing to take on him all of what you've got. And that's what he did at the cross. He became an outcast leper. That affected the very bones of his body right down to the skin of his flesh. Everything was marred so that you and I can be free. The leprosy of our sin has been taken away by Jesus Christ. Everything that's despicable about you, Jesus became despicable on that cross so that you can be free. He says to you, be clean. I'm willing. When he was in that garden, he said he was willing. Not my will. Let yours be done. That's amazing, oh fuck. Jesus loves you. Are you desperate for him? Are you desperate for his word? Because all he touches, but then he says, be clean. This is also true, folk. People need touch. They don't just need word. I tell you, I can tell my kids all day long what to do or what not to do. But the moments when I've had them on my lap, when I hold them, when I hug them, when I touch them, I'm way more effective than if I'm just speaking all the time. And Jesus brings the logos and he brings the rhema, but he brings the touch. He can touch you. He can set you free. He does these things, folk. His touch is amazing. It's interesting this. I must share this with you. He tells him to go to the priest to offer the offerings as the law of Moses commands. Isn't that interesting? It's one thing to be free from our sickness and our sin. But Jesus always directs us back to his word. And Jesus is honoring the word and he's honoring the old covenant and he's honoring the law of Moses with the priests and the requirements there. He himself is about to come and undo all of that because that's just a shadow of what he's going to do for everyone. But he always brings us back to that place of go to the people that I've anointed. Go to the place that I've anointed and go and live for the purposes that I've chosen. Isn't that amazing? Because listen to this. This is what happens when somebody needs to be declared clean after they've had leprosy. In Leviticus chapter 13 and 14, you're not going to go there. In Leviticus chapter 13, the priest is determining whether someone has leprosy. In chapter 14, he's reinstating people into community who have been set free from leprosy. Is that cool? This is the stuff that needs to be done for somebody who's being reinstated into community. Listen. Firstly, Two birds have to be brought to a priest. The first bird has to be killed in an earthen vessel, and the blood needs to be placed on the man. The second bird has to be released and to fly out. What is that? It's a picture of Jesus Christ in an earthen vessel, earthly life, dies on the cross for us, and the blood is put on people who are going to trust in him, and the other bird signifies that he rose again and that he's gone free. And then the person has to wash their clothes, shave their hair, so in other words, there's going to be a new growth, and they have to put themselves into a bath. What is that? Baptism. The signifying of an old life and of an old way of leprosy is no longer there, and a new way of life has come, and it even includes new hair. Offerings need to be made. Three offerings need to be made. The first offering is an offering of worship because you've been cleansed. The second offering is an offering for the priest so that the kingdom can continue. And the third offering is an offering where the blood is taken and it's put on the earlobe, on the right thumb, and on the right toe. In other words, now you give your ears, you give your hands, and you give your feet to the kingdom of God now going forward. And then the priest takes oil and he pours it over the person's head. And it signifies the Spirit of God, the anointing of God upon a person to be used by God now for the things. And that person can go back into community, back into church life with forgiveness, baptism, anointing, and change the world. And everyone will say, that's the person who used to be rejected, but now they're the person who are clean and accepted. And they become a testimony to everybody. Isn't that amazing? So Jesus says, go back to the priest. Go do as proof to them. And then miracles break out and people get touched. But what does Jesus do? He goes and gets alone with his father. That's the core of it all. The crowds, the called, the cleansed, and the call. Because you know what? He's going to do it all over again the next day.